For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yes, you are. But more importantly, you're about to be listening to him, that man, Steve Kerr, head coach, Warriors, live in Houston. You ready to rock?
Let's go.
Let's do this thing. Here we go. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line because it is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Hello, Coach. How you doing out there in Houston?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. Hey, 100 playoff wins now. Congratulations. And which one was your favorite?
Game 6 in Cleveland in 2015.
Yeah.
That's first championship, kind of unexpected. I mean, to win a title that year and kind of it felt like we skipped a couple steps, you know, like we were supposed to maybe go through a little more pain. So, but to feel that feeling as a coach to win your first championship, pretty special.
How important is that process? And I'm not trying to get you to dismiss the Rockets and what they're trying to do, but it feels like they're a team in need of those steps, and this Warrior team kind of made those steps before you got here. How important is it to go through that experience before you actually get to where you can win the Larry?
Well, you know, when I think about my NBA upbringing, I think about teams like the Bulls, you know, losing to the Pistons for a few years before they finally broke through. Or, actually the Pistons had to break through Boston, you know, to get there for the first time. And There seems to be a process, a sequence that teams have to go through as they climb to the top. But I just think playoff experience is a big deal. I mean, it really is a different game. The officiating's different. It's more physical, more pressure. You can feel the importance of every possession, and it's hugely helpful to have guys on your team who have been through it and who understand it.
Coach, you made a comment to the assembled media in Houston earlier today that you thought maybe it was a little bit of a mistake to leave Jimmy Butler into the game as long as you did into the third quarter. Can you expand on as to why you thought that was a mistake and how you'd like to kind of approach it differently going forward?
Well, it disrupted our rotations. You know, I mean, we generally bring them out in the middle of every quarter for a couple of minutes, especially the first three quarters. And it allows us to get to the five-man groupings that we like. But what we did in the middle of that third quarter, we were rolling, and we just decided we didn't want to disrupt the momentum, and so we kept him out there. Then they started making a run while he was out there. So it just, you know, I should have taken him out earlier. Gee was great in his minutes in the second quarter. It would have been the perfect time to get Jimmy out for a few minutes, and then that allows him to, you know, finish the quarter and then start the fourth. But because he played the whole third, I didn't start him in the fourth. And I thought our lineup combos were a little disrupted as a result.
Is it harder to take a guy out of the game when he's rolling or keep a guy on the bench when you know he needs rest, even though you may need him on the floor in that moment?
I mean, it's all difficult. During the playoffs, you're constantly making decisions that may or may not work. So you're really just going with your gut. I do like to have a set rotation. I think players feel comfortable knowing when they're going to go in, and I think it helps them play better. The stars, I don't think, it matters as much, too, although, you know, Steph really appreciates when he's got a consistent rotation pattern. So, I think in the playoffs, you have to sort of throw everything out the window and do whatever it takes. That's why we started Steph in the fourth. We felt like it was too dicey to keep him on the bench to start the fourth after, everything we were looking at and the run that they were making.
Coach Steve Kerr with us from Houston right here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. I'm interested to know, I mean, this is always such a cat and mouse game when you get into a series. What adjustment do you think Udoka is going to make for game two?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We talked about it as a staff the last couple of days. They obviously had a lot of success with, the big lineups, the physicality. You know, he may change some lineup combinations around. He may not. I mean, I would say most coaches wait until after two games to make a major adjustment, whether it's a rotational addition or, a scheme change. I don't expect, massive changes from Ime. They know who they are as a team. They've had a great year. They have a real identity. And so we kind of know, they're going to be physical, they're going to defend, and they're going to rebound. And I don't think too much will change from that philosophy.
And how about from your side, where you come off a game that you won, and Mark and I were talking yesterday, and I thought it was a B effort, maybe B minus, B plus, whatever. It wasn't your best game, but it was good enough to get the win. When you come off a win, are you more likely to kind of stick with what actually worked or look to make some tweaks and tinker to see if you can't get that A performance out there?
Yeah, well, it was an A performance through, the middle of the third. And then, we watched the tape with the team today, with the staff yesterday. There were some obvious things that we have to improve upon, particularly our offensive execution. And so, in a situation like this, you feel good about the win, but you prepare for the force that's coming, and you tweak some things to try to improve your game.
Steve, you know what I want to ask you? I mean, we all know, obviously, how special Steph is, but there's something that like goes beyond basketball that I really notice, especially in a series like this. Whatever we do in life, when there are people or forces that are grabbing at us constantly, trying to stop us from where we're going, that really, really annoys people, and it's a struggle. I want to know what tools Steph uses to be grabbed and shoved and stopped and all of the illegal things that happen, and not just succeed at basketball, but like keep his cool. How does he do it?
Incredible mental toughness and fortitude. He's well aware of everybody's game plan is going to be the same thing. It's going to be physical with him when he's on offense, attack him when he's on defense. And honestly, I think Steph knows it's the ultimate sign of respect. And he deals with it beautifully. He hardly ever complains to the ref. He just does his thing. And he's such an incredible athlete that he finds ways to free himself up, even through all the physicality.
And through the physicality, you can advocate for Steph. And as we've talked about on this very program before, we asked you about complaining, and you said complaining doesn't work, yet you do have to kind of get your two cents in there. When you see this going on, this manhandling of your star, how do you go about encouraging the officials to adjudicate the illegality of this contact?
Well, you just mentioned it to them during games. I mean, both coaches, I'm sure, are talking to the officials. And I just try to point out freedom of movement is, a big part of the rules. And if they're draped around them and they have two arms wrapped around them, that's supposed to be a foul. So there's not much else you can do. I mean, if you want, you can send clips into the league, you know, and during the playoffs, those clips will be shared with, you know, the other team. So they know what you're sending in. And, you know, it's all part of the song and dance of the playoffs. I don't think sending clips in helps, to be honest with you, but we might do it once in a while.
Steve, it was the first playoff game for Brandon Pajemski and for Quentin Post. What did you think in terms of how they handled it?
I thought they handled it well. You know, Brandon made some huge plays for us, really played well. I think it was great for Quentin to get really his first taste of the NBA playoffs. Brandon, has played 2 years now, so he's got a lot more experience than Quentin, played in the play-in last year. But for both guys, you know, it felt like the last couple of weeks have already been the playoffs, you know, and the Memphis game is absolutely a playoff game, whether they want to call it that or not. So, I don't know. I just think that young players need that experience. They need to feel that vibe, and these last few games have been really good for both guys.
Especially Moses, and not that he was shaky offensively, but he didn't really seem to have his offensive game, and then fourth quarter, he hits that big jumper in the mid-range and then the corner three. What is it about Moses that allows him to go from a really quiet offensive night to being able to come through big in the fourth?
Well, two massive shots. I mean, those were enormous. And we've always loved Moses's professionalism, his work ethic, his poise. I mean, he's really a fantastic young guy, and the process of these last 4 years has really been great. He's just improved and gotten better and taken on more responsibility, and now he's one of our most important players.
Coach, I want to go back to Steph for a second. He has referred to himself as the petty king. So we know he hears everything and at times uses it for motivation. And there were plenty in the media, especially after what happened a little over 2 weeks ago at Chase Center, that we're referring to Amen Thompson as sort of the next Steph stopper. We've seen other names throughout the history of the league sort of get that title for maybe a day or two, and then all of a sudden it goes away when he has a big performance. Does he know about those things? Does he take it to heart? And sort of like, where does he go from there when he hears it?
Yeah, I mean, he said it himself, right? Did he call himself the petty king?
I think so. Yeah.
Or did you make that up?
No, I didn't make it up. That was like
the, yeah,
when, you, when you guys won over Boston, it that was a big thing. Like both he and Clay were talking about hearing everything that everybody says. He says nothing gets by him, and yeah, that one I won't take credit for that one, Coach.
Well. He sees everything. He hears everything. He just has the right sense of how to motivate himself, and how to play at the best of his ability when the best is needed. I mean, it's a brilliant quality that only the very best competitors share, and Steph has it.
You played with one of the greatest of all time in Michael Jordan, and just looking back at his career, it was 6 years in the playoffs before they won the finals. I think that was before you got there, but did Michael Jordan have that same sort of chip on his shoulder that you see in Steph?
Yeah, I mean, they're very different people, but the competitive gene is what stands out for both of them. Michael was, I think, you know, a petty king himself, you know, like just using everything. I remember Jeff Van Gundy, when he was coaching the Knicks, said something about, Michael befriends every player in the league and then he destroys them at night. And I think somehow Michael took that to Jeff calling him a fraud. You know, and it was like, poor Jeff, he didn't really call him a fraud. It was more just Michael used that. He's like, okay, all right, here we go. And then the next game, you know, he's dominating and talking trash to Jeff. And I mean, so Michael was famous for that stuff.
Coach, when you win game one on the road, you know where the fan mind goes. It's like, all right, cool, we got this series. And obviously you guys can't think that way, but how would you describe the mental approach to a game like tomorrow night when the Rockets are going to be, you know, totally desperate, and you guys need to find a way to sort of combat that?
Yeah, well, we've got to prepare our guys to be ready for the force that they're bringing and the physicality. We've got to be ready to play through the bad stretches because there's always going to be some. No matter how well you play, there's going to be adversity. The other team's going to make runs. So you just have to take it 1 minute at a time, 1 possession at a time, and string together good basketball, good two-way basketball. But you have to do that with a sense of vigilance for what's coming, and that's kind of what playoff basketball is about, especially in these situations when – you know, you're up 1-0 on the road. You got to be ready for what's coming.
You mentioned halfway through the third, you had an A grade, and then it kind of went down from there. Part of it for me was the offensive rebounds that Houston was able to accumulate. How do you, as a staff, coach them up and maybe scheme it different so you don't give up 22 offensive rebounds in game two?
Well, they're going to get some. I mean, they're massive, and you know, the other night, they obviously didn't shoot well. So there were a ton of available rebounds. So I don't expect them to get 22 again, but they're such a good rebounding team that they're going to get plenty. I thought that what stood out on the tape was not so much negligence. It wasn't like we weren't, you know, hitting bodies and we weren't trying to rebound. But I thought we didn't get two hands on a lot of the balls, loose balls. You know, Jimmy talked about it in the press conference after the game. He tried to tip a couple of rebounds to teammates instead of grabbing them with two hands. I think Buddy had a couple where the ball was on the floor, and instead of grabbing it with two hands, he tried to tap it to himself. And they're so athletic that that's not going to work. So we just have to be really forceful with both hands. And get every ball that's close to us. We gotta get it like our lives depend on it.
Coach, I think this is overall a good thing, and I wonder if you notice it. But you and your guys sound like you feel very, very confident. And we could go back to, for instance, Draymond All-Star Weekend. He predicts a championship. Jimmy Butler has kind of spoken that way this week a couple of times, sort of predicting a championship. How does that make you feel? What kind of pressure do you feel that might add?
Oh, I don't feel any pressure from that. I feel the normal pressure that the NBA playoffs bring, because this is what our whole season is dependent on. This is what determines, you know, the success of the season. And so we feel the normal pressure, but I think we all feel confident and excited because it's also the most fun time of year. And really the key is to find that balance between, you know, recognizing that, yes, it's important. Yes, it's the playoffs. Yes, there's a lot on the line. And, oh, by the way, it's a basketball game. You know, nobody's life is on the line. Nobody's health is on the line. This is this should be fun. And so you have to find that balance between the importance, but also the joy that comes with competing. And if you can, it's what Phil Jackson was, honestly, he was the best I've ever been around in that regard. Just finding perspective and finding a really good place in which to thrive during the playoffs. That's what we're searching for.
Yeah, no pressure, but the more Warrior games we have on our station, the better we do as a station, and the more I'm able to feed my family. So there is that, Steve.
There is that.
Yeah.
But no, it's, you know, we're all lucky. We do what we love, and I think our guys really enjoy this. But, you know, the biggest thing is our young guys, all they have to do is follow the lead of Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, and Loon. You know, our vets who have been here a million times, they're going to lead us. Our young guys just have to play as hard as they can and let it rip. And I think we're going to have a lot of success.
What's the one key thing that you have to do or you have to avoid not doing in order to allow Houston to be able to get the upper hand in a game two or in any game in this series?
Well, we can't turn it over. That's the biggest thing. You know, if we turn it over, their athletes are going to get free for easy baskets. And we can't afford that. We've got to be able to contain them and take away the easy stuff. So, you know, fouls, turnovers, those are the things that'll hurt. It's obviously the offensive boards as well. But like I said, they're going to get plenty of those. It's all, you know, it's kind of all part of the package. So we just have to check as many boxes as possible.
Coach, I don't know if this is just kind of a layman's thing, but like a lot of people look at a 95-85 NBA basketball game and they're like, whoa, right? That had been a long time since that's a normal final score. Are you comfortable in that area, or in a perfect world, would you rather this matchup does end up in the hundreds?
Oh, I don't care what the score is, as long as we have more points.
Well, right.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, we want to run, so we're not trying to keep it under 100. We want to score 115 if we can. And I do think we can be much better offensively. So it's really about the process and just getting enough things done to get the win.
Want to throw this at you, too. The Athletic today released an NBA players poll. So this is anonymous voting by actual NBA players, and they had the most underrated players in the league. They also had the most overrated players in the league. And in the top six, both Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green are in the most overrated player list. What would you say to another player who's voting those guys as among the most overrated players in the league?
Well, first of all, I don't really care. So I haven't given that any thought. But all I know is we're really lucky to have both guys. I mean, Draymond is a four-time champ, and Jimmy's carried a team to the finals twice, so they're winners, and we all see that here, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, it feels a little bit to me like haterade is being consumed in other quarters, and that's okay. That's natural. It's funny, Steve, you mentioned 1997 in your post-game commentary about that game, 95-85, and I'm just looking at 1997 where the Jazz beat you in Game 4 78-73. Do you miss those old rock fights, kind of like they had in Game 1?
Honestly, that's exactly what I was thinking of, was those scores, you know. That finals, there was a finals between the Knicks and Houston in 95, I think, 94. Just felt like a wrestling match. So that was the era I was thinking of. And no, I don't miss that at all. I think the game is much better when it's played at a faster pace with more scoring. But playoffs are different, and whatever it takes, you have to do. And I read that every single game of the first eight, except for the Memphis OKC game, which was a blowout, obviously, but the other seven were all in the 80s or 90s from a pace standpoint, which is extremely low. So. No coincidence. It's just, the playoffs take on a different complexion.
Speaking of those other series, Coach, we know you watch all the games. Did anything else catch your eye from around the league over the first weekend?
Well, Clipper Denver series is pretty compelling stuff to watch. That was high level stuff, both games. I think they're two of the best teams in the league, and they're playing right away. But the whole West is really loaded. I think the depth of the conference means that you got a lot of amazing teams, high level teams, and it's going to be really competitive stuff.
Can you take our listeners through kind of what the experience the team has been having since Sunday? Like, you guys you're cherishing these days off. How much practicing? What are the guys kind of doing to pass the time over these 48 hours?
Well, yesterday was off entirely for the team. I know Steph went and played golf. The young guys went in and played, played pickup to keep their conditioning and their rhythm. But the vets were all off, and they all did their own thing. Coaches, we gathered and met and watched the game and, kind of plotted our strategy for tomorrow. And then today was practice. We had a very light practice, a really good film session. And, this is kind of how it goes, especially in the first round where you have all these days between games. It's fine with us. The rest is good for us. But it is a lot of downtime in the hotel for sure.
I'm contractually obligated to ask one Jonathan Kuminga question. Was he a part of that little pickup scrimmage, and how's he doing in this trip?
Jonathan has been fantastic. I mean, his attitude, his energy on the bench, cheering guys on, staying ready. He's a great, great young guy. And, you know, this has been tough on him, but he is doing exactly what he should be doing, which is staying ready because, you know, as I've told him and our coaches have told him, things can change in a heartbeat in the NBA, and he's got to just be ready for when his time comes, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's staying ready, and I would be surprised if at some point, I mean, you know, his time doesn't come, because I've just seen this too many times. But when you're in a good groove, you know, you kind of keep doing what you're doing, and then you adjust as you go.
There it is. Okay, game two tomorrow night. Coach, we can't wait. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good week.
All right, you too. There it is. That's Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips. It's going to be great. And brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. We'll react to that and would love you to do the same. Your phone calls on anything you just heard from Coach Kerr as we head into game two tomorrow night. Coming up next, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I would say most coaches wait until after two games to make a major adjustment, whether it's a rotational addition or a scheme change. I don't expect massive changes from Ime. They know who they are as a team. They've had a great year. They have a real identity, and so we kind of know they're going to be physical, and they're going to defend, and they're going to rebound. And I don't think too much will change from that philosophy.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, you are. And you're welcome to bring your thoughts off of listening to Coach Kerr tonight. I know what my thought is. Number one thought, at least. There's a bunch of thoughts, but I know what my number one thought is. And I wonder if Warrior fans out there, are you getting to a point where you're sort of uncomfortable with the level of confidence that you're hearing, whether it's from fans, media, the team itself? Is there too much confidence? Because Dibs, I don't know about you. 888-957-9570, by the way, our number. Feel free to hit us up. We'd love to talk Dubs basketball with you. When I listen to Coach Kerr tonight, I don't think he's braggadocious at all. Steve knows exactly how to handle a media situation and public commentary better than just about anybody I've ever talked to in my life. But you can sort of tell that we have quickly in this series arrived at a spot where the angst, the stress, the twisted up nature of a playoff series, I'm sorry, it's just absent. It's just not here. You couldn't hear it from Moses Moody earlier. You couldn't hear it from Steve Kerr. And I'm not telling you it's a sweep. What I'm telling you is, and I feel like you've had some numbers that say this today. Grandy, you had some numbers that say this today. The bottom line is this for the Golden State Warriors. They know exactly what they have to do. If they don't do it, they might lose a game or two. But if they do it, the Rockets don't have an answer. All they've got to do is don't turn the ball over. Don't let the Rockets turn this into fast break points. If you don't do that, they're not beating you four times. And it sounds to me like the Warriors are very privately aware of that with every single conversation we all have.
Right. They feel like they're the better team, and then they went out and they won game one in a game where they were up by 20+, and Steve even said that. I said, yeah, I had it as like a B or B minus, and he said, well, it was an A.
It was.
Up halfway through the third quarter, it was an A, and then we got a little sloppy with the ball, and we made some mistakes, and we allowed them to get back into it, and so that is kind of the way that happened. And he mentioned the turnovers, and in the six games this year where they had 20 or more turnovers, they were 0-6. And I know 20 is a lot. Two of those games were against the Houston Rockets, where they had 20 or more turnovers, and they lost the basketball game. So that's kind of why I was leading Steve to that answer when I said, what's the one thing? And he's right, it's turnovers.
Turnovers.
Jimmy's gotten them from being like 16 a game down to 14 a game, which is significant. And the offensive rebounds don't matter as much if you don't turn the ball over. And also what he said is, and you and I were talking about this before, like a team that misses a lot of shots, there's going to be a lot of available rebounds.
Totally, and they're taller, so they're going to get some.
Right.
They're going to get some, but it's like, okay. You got to find a way to turn that into points. Listen, did y'all miss this on Steiny and Goo today? And Evan was in for Goo. Moses Moody was on. Listen to this comment.
I think we can score better than them in the half court. Definitely. They bring a lot of pressure. So as long as we can control the ball, limit turnovers, when it comes down to it, I think we're a better team. So the more that we can use that and not let them just play fast and get out with, then I think it'll be better for us.
When it comes down to it, we're a better team.
Right.
Said the 7-seed role player after one game. Now, I'm not trying to turn that into bulletin board, because by the way, hashtag, he's right. Mm-hmm. He's right, but this is a very, I wonder if everyone catches this. This is a very rare occurrence in the NBA that you're going to get a playoff series that feels this way. I'm not going to call it in the bag or over or anything, but the feeling of this, particularly with a 7-2, which this just isn't, but even though that it is,
right?
But you're not going to get this kind of feeling, this kind of commentary after one basketball game, but you have it because the Warriors, I just think they have a very simple assignment here. Doesn't mean that they'll complete their assignment every time they play, but they have a very simple assignment. And if they do it, they're going to score more points than the Rockets every time. That's how I feel. So,
well, and the simple assignment is don't turn it over
a
ton.
Yeah.
And especially live ball turnovers where they can get out and they can run and get easy hoops. If you make it a half-court game and it comes into being a shooting contest, well, the Warriors will shoot better. And what Steve said about offensive rebounds is true. The Rockets missed 53 shots in that game. They missed 53 of their 87. And of the 53 available rebounds, the Warriors got 30 and they got 22. And, you know, the other rebounds either kick out of bounds
right.
or, you know, whatever.
Team
goes up and over the backboard,
yeah.
whatever happens. But you want to get a higher percentage of the available rebounds. But Steve's right. When you have a team that doesn't shoot it very well, there's going to be a lot of rebounds available, and they're very good at that.
888-957-9570. Love to hear from you. Gloria in the city. Hi, Gloria. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dibs and Willard. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I totally agree with Steve. Steve is a confident veteran coach. He knows his team. It was good to see our role players step up, and the moment wasn't too big. Moody played exceptional defense. And Pajinski, he played as if he was I know he's not a rookie, but he played like a veteran, actually. The moment didn't scare him. I think the Rockets' defense is smothering. It's hard to watch at times because I'm so afraid that they're going to lose the ball. But the Warriors showed their composure as a championship team, and that's what they have to continue to do. They're not going to out-rebound this team. So that's what the Rockets do well because of their youth and their athleticism. So just continue to hit your shot, play with poise, and let Steph do what Steph does. And Jimmy, I'm so happy he's on our team now. Right. I'm confident that we're going to win this series and get some rest for who we face next. Thank you, gentlemen.
Gloria, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for calling, and I love the two words that she used, and they have some overlap, and for many in this case kind of mean the same thing. She used the word composure,
yep.
And she used the word poise.
That's what Steve was saying on the sideline.
That's it.
Poise, poise, poise.
Poise, yeah, exactly. That's all. That's it. And that's kind of like you heard another thing Steve said in our conversation where he goes, I just think playoff experience is such a big deal. There are times in sports where the word experience gets overused or kind of like you hang your hat on it too much. You know, if it's a one-game situation or if it's baseball, which is kind of random with bloopers and Texas Leaguers and things like that. But it's so excessive in this series. It's so excessive. The Warriors experience championship pedigree and know-how versus guys who are all playing in their first playoff game. I just thought it was wildly evident in that second quarter. And that's the kind of thing that's almost like speed. It just doesn't take a day off. Like you said it earlier, the Rockets just, you know, they haven't been out of the state yet. They haven't been on a trip yet.
Right.
Like they haven't gone to college yet. They got to go see the world before you know exactly. I mean, Steve said they know who they are. I'd almost kind of argue, not really. Not really. They are the prefrontal cortex of an 18-year-old. Not fully formed.
No, but I do think that, you know, whatever happens this year for them will be a great experience.
Yes.
And you and I were having the discussion earlier about young teams who go on a run. And I was thinking about the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2011, where they went to the Western Conference Finals with KD, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, all yep. who were under the age of 23, And as I did a, not a deep dive, but a shallow little wade into the water.
Let us know if Deep Dive Dibs is here again.
He's not.
Okay.
All I'm going to point out is that that very team that went to the Western Finals the year before was a playoff team. They lost in the first round.
Yep.
You had a rookie, and then I think Westbrook and KD were in their second year, and Harden was a rookie, or, you know, those three all had a collective 2 years of experience. They went, they played seven, they lost, and then it was the next year where they went to the conference finals, and a couple years later, they went to the actual NBA finals.
And do I have this right? Like, did Harden won it 1 year, right? All three of them have MVP awards.
I believe that's right.
All three of them have MVP awards. These guys are all going to the Hall of Fame.
And I'm not
going
to compare Jabari Smith, Şengün, and Jalen Green.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those three are not these three.
Exactly right. And, you know, look, I know everybody's got to go play a year either of college or overseas or whatever you want to do. But I also look at, you know, Westbrook, Harden, and KD, and I know they didn't play a ton of it. I think KD just 1 year at Texas, but these were also all, they were all college basketball players. They were all players that played at big time universities that went on tournament runs and all of that. So like their 22 might not be this 22. There's also a different skill set. You're looking at three players, and particularly Kevin Durant and James Harden, who are literally all-time ball handler scorer type players. Rockets don't have that guy.
Right.
They just don't. They don't have that guy. I don't even think a few more years of experience will do that. These Rockets, if you project them for another 2 to 3 years, really dangerous, but they still need another guy. They need an addition. They need
They need, you said yesterday, Cade Cunningham.
Kevin Durant. Or Kevin Durant.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Ja Morant. Somebody who can just flat out get you a bucket.
Totally.
And I know he's not the great personality fit. Just before we go to the phones, the one thing, there's one common thread between that Oklahoma City Thunder team, the baby Thunder and the baby Rockets. You know what the common thread is?
What's that?
Jeff Green.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was on
Green.
That team.
Jeff Green. Jeff Green.
Was he allowed off the bench for that team?
Oh, he played a bunch.
Yeah, he did.
He was second on the team in minutes.
Was he? He was second?
In 2011, he played, I think, 37 minutes a game.
Damn.
And that same Jeff Green is now on the baby Rockets.
Right. But not a baby.
No.
Which is why he's not allowed to play.
Well,
Let's go to Morgan in Morgan Hill. Hi, Morgan. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
First off,
I just wanted to say that you guys are wonderful interviewers. I love the way you guys tag team with those questions. And not only that, sophisticated. Dibs, did I hear you say, how do you adjudicate the illegality of us?
I was just trying to flex on Steve with my state school education.
By the way, you guys know what that is, right, Morgan?
I think so. I think I do.
It's an adjudication sensation.
What it is,
okay, you got me there. But hey,
right.
You know, that was interesting. I have two meaningless comments.
We've got way more than that, but go ahead.
One, that was interesting to learn that when they send in clips of, you know, what they think are fouls, that they actually have to share it with the other team too. I didn't know that was the case, and that's interesting to know. So that's one. And then two, Willard, when you asked him that question about that anonymous player poll, about the underrated players, I was really hoping to hear a nice flowery kind of response from Steve Kerr about how they're not underrated, but he didn't really give it to us. But here's my theory about that poll and that question is that people voting for them as underrated are the same players who don't box out and who ball watch on offense and defense. And there's more of them in the NBA than we realize. But that's my theory. That's who's voting for Jimmy and Draymond as underrated.
Well,
anyhow, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
guys.
Morgan, thank you for making it. You may be onto something. I also like what you said earlier to Coach, which is that it feels like there's some haterade there. I think when people look, and we forget this, these athletes, they're human beings. And when they look at people like Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, who challenge people on the court all the time, Jimmy less so on the court. Jimmy's sort of more in the locker room and in the front office. They are controversial people. They're controversial people. And so I think that, like, you're prone, if you're an observer and you've never played with them before, you're prone to look at it from the outside and go, these guys are more trouble than they're worth. And that's kind of, for me, that's the definition of overrated. You're more trouble than you're worth. Like, your name value is big, and obviously you're good at basketball, but you're not that great. And Steve said what I think is true. We know. They don't know. We know. Draymond Green might be the ultimate we know inside the organization what all of you outside of the organization don't know. We know what he provides. And you and I have had this conversation with so many people who have played on that team through the years. Other than Jordan Poole, everybody who talks to us who's played alongside Draymond Green says he's a wonderful, wonderful teammate and a leader and the guy you need and big bro and all of that stuff. And actually, even Jordan Poole said that prior to their problem. So if that's the case, then clearly what's going on inside the building is a myth buster, because outside the building, people are like, that guy's a pain in the rear. Like, not the people around him don't think so.
Exactly. And I'm just looking at this poll, and Tyrese Halliburton was number one, followed by Rudy Gobert. And I kind of get that.
Rudy Gobert.
Like, Rudy Gobert, he's the Stifle Tower. He's a great defensive player, but kind of a stiff on offense. Trae Young, then you get to Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green is in a group tied with Ja Morant and Julius Randle. So some of those players on the list, and you get to Dylan Brooks, your guy. And, you know, some of these players are brash talkers who it's easy for their peers to say, oh, that guy's overrated. He's not as good as he thinks he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, LeBron, 2.2% overrated.
Overrated. Well, I mean, he's not better than Steph, but.
Right. So he's overrated because he's not the greatest player of all time.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's number two. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Hey, Skills, thanks for calling. What are you doing?
What I'm doing is my daughter's with me on spring break, and so I'm just trying to enjoy what little peace and quiet I can get in my house.
Yeah, man. Amen to that.
I love it, though. But here's the thing. I think what most of Moody was trying to say earlier about the Warriors being a better basketball team, I could be wrong, but it's not the first time I've spoken for someone else on this show before. But what I think he was trying to say was the Warriors, when they fall behind or they're struggling, they just start doing things better. They start shooting better. They start making mistakes on the floor. They work better as a team. They clean things up, and they usually, you know, more often than not, it's worked, especially since they got Butler. What the Rockets like to do, on the other hand, is when they fall behind, they're in a jam, they will pull people's pants down. They will claw and spit and dab and insult relatives and things like that. And then when that doesn't work, the head coach comes on the floor and starts picking fights with people. And that's not basketball, not the basketball, any basketball I've ever experienced. So that's what I just want to say, what my thoughts were on the Moody quote from earlier, and that the Warriors will be just fine in this series. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Skills, thank you, and good luck on the peace and quiet. Yeah, he's right. I mean, go back to that word that Steiny was using on the crossover, like, who's more talented? Oh, the Rockets are more talented. And we do, for whatever reason, in sports, the word talent seems to get equated to athleticism.
Yeah.
Right? Who can jump? Who can wow you? Who got the ha-ha? That's how we decide what's talent. I think that's an absurd statement. The Rockets are more talented than the Warriors? Are you kidding me? They don't have anybody who can shoot. How the hell could they be more talented? They may be more athletic. Steph Curry's not the most talented person you've ever seen in your life. He can walk into the upper deck of a basketball arena and make a shot. Like, that's a crazy statement. It's simply saying you're more athletic, and so that's not enough. And I like Skill's point, which is when a team needs to kind of dig deep and get something, the Warriors have a lot more different things they can do than the Rockets do.
And I wonder, like, about the idea of talent and what it really means, because Kevon Looney has certain talents in the league that fit with what the Warriors try to do. So if Kevon Looney was on any of the other 29 teams, maybe he wouldn't be as talented. Maybe he wouldn't even be able to play in the association. And I hope that he'll find a home outside of Golden State if they let him go in the offseason, but his talent is such that it fits perfectly with what they're trying to do. Yeah. So is GP2 suddenly more talented here than he was elsewhere, or do the Warriors just know how to use him?
Yeah, he's a great fit. He's a great fit. Eric in Vallejo. Hey, Eric, real quick, what's going on?
I want to give my two cents about Draymond being overrated. I tell everyone all the time that Steph is obviously our best player, but Draymond has been the MVP of our team the last 10 years, right? I mean, if you look at him when he's off, when the love with the Warriors, when he's off the floor, the offense is clunky. We give up a bunch of points. So he's a quarterback for our offense and defense. The other thing you said about Warriors fans, no, he's not overrated. I kind of disagree with that. There's a lot of Warriors fans that don't like him and think he's overrated and that wanted to actually trade him the last couple of years. So I don't know why it is, but I think people just look at the numbers. They didn't get big numbers, but he has a huge impact, just like Iguodala.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Yeah, Eric, thanks for calling. I'm with you. I think any Warrior fan, look, you can be annoyed by Draymond Green, but you cannot dismiss Draymond Green. If you're a Warrior fan and you think that Draymond has not been an absolutely vital part of everything that's happened, quite frankly, you're crazy. You are crazy. And I question your fandom. You've let your emotion overwhelm your fandom. And all you need to do, don't listen to me. Who the hell am I? Just a voice in the room. You want to know why you're wrong if you diminish the importance of Draymond Green? Because Steph Curry disagrees with you. And Steve Kerr disagrees with you. Kevon Looney disagrees with you.
Well, the banners disagree with you.
Exactly.
And Joe Lacob and three parades in Oakland and one down Market Street disagree with you. So you can put him on your overrated list all you want. The man's got four titles.
And they don't have any of them without him, I firmly believe. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll keep going with your phone calls next, 888-957-9570. If you missed any portion of Steve Kerr, it's still around. Around the corner in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Stay with us here on Willard and Dibs.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.